Okay, so once again, I just ask you guys to just come on closer here. I don't bite. I don't smell too bad. I had a shower this morning. So, you know, come on down. I'm not going to hurt you. But it's nice to just work, to be together, right? That's why we're here. So, let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day, for this weekend, and for what you are going to do through this weekend, Lord. It is exciting to see, and we know that the devil will try to put anything he can in our way, the world and the loves of the world, the distractions that come with that, interpersonal problems, all sorts of things, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you will just bring unity, bring your love, bring your word into our hearts deeply so that it goes with us forever, Lord. And that this weekend will shape our direction in life and help encourage us to be your disciples and to follow you in strength. Amen. No? Okay. Okay, we're going to go without PowerPoint this morning. But okay, so I want to share something that's very dear to me with you guys. It's a little odd, I understand that, but I love to wait. Does anyone else here love waiting? No. I love it. And you know what? If I go to a store, the bigger the lineup, the better. Oh, it's awesome when I have to go to Walmart and they have 20 caches and only two are open and I get to stand there and I have the pleasure of being in Walmart for an extra half an hour. I love it. It's amazing. Or if I'm going to work and I'm trying to get there on time and I get trapped behind the slowest moving car you'll ever see on the 655. And, or even better yet, a tractor. You know what? It just gives me extra time to listen to my music before I go to work. And my boss will be mad at me, but that's okay. You know what? It's because I just love to wait. Does anyone believe me? Exactly. I hate waiting. It sucks. It's the worst. And it gets me angry sometimes. It gets me just aggravated. And I think we all can share with me on that, right? That waiting is hard. We don't like to wait, especially in this generation. With everything moving so quickly, you want to find something out, you grab your phone, there it is. You know, 10 seconds. Before, we'd have to go to the library. You guys probably don't even know what the library is or where it is. We had to actually go to a book and look something up. Like, it's crazy. Now you just like, oh, my phone is not a phone anymore. It's a personal computer. It's insane. But we don't like to wait. And what one of those times that really, really burns me up is when you call a helpline for something like my banking. I need to do something, so I'll call them up. And this is a true story. It's really happened. So I call up my bank, and I get on the line, and of course, I had the privilege of a computer putting me on hold. So I'm on hold. And it's going on, and then every once in a while, they give you a glimmer of hope, and they say, your wait time is, let's say, 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Okay, you know, I just say a glimmer, because they're just trying to keep you on the phone. They don't want you to hang up. It's never 3 minutes and 50 seconds. So then I had the special privilege of hearing an extra special message at the end, when it said, our business hours are now over. Please call between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. on weekdays. And they said some message for weekends. I called them at 7 o'clock. I was on hold for an hour. Was I a happy camper? No. No, because I hate waiting. And you know what? In comparison, this is what we have to wait for in this world is just piddly little things. It's not big deals. But look at how much it burns us up, how angry it makes us, how it affects us. And I just want us to put ourselves in the place of the disciples, and at the moment and at the time when Jesus got crucified, they had to wait. First they ran scared, and then they sat and had to wait. They had to ask God. They had to sit there waiting. Like, they've been following who they thought was the Messiah, who they thought was going to redeem Israel and bring the kingdom down. And all of a sudden, just like that, they are praying in a garden one night, and the next day, he's crucified. He's dead. What else could they do but wait? So let's go back a little bit and read some scripture here. If you want to join me in Mark 14, we're going to pick it up at verse 44. I'll give you a little second to get there. Okay. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. One of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts. You did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. So if you just put yourself in their shoes, this is just such a shake-up moment, a moment that just rocks you at the core. And they knew that they were threatened, that they had to leave, they had to run, they had to try and regroup. They probably hoped that Jesus would escape like he had done so many times before when he was cornered into situations and Jesus miraculously escaped. Do you remember the story when they were basically trapping Jesus by a cliff and he just magically got through the crowd, and they're like, where'd he go? You know, Jesus had that power. He had it. He chose not to use it in this moment. He could have escaped and fled and regrouped with the others. That's probably what they were hoping for. But it did not go that way. So once they realized what was happening, they had to ask themselves this question. Who is it that they just arrested? Is this a charismatic leader that they were following? Or did they just arrest the Lord of all? Did they just arrest the Messiah? The second question they had to ask themselves was Jesus really right about his prediction of his death? He had just spoken with them about these things. He had foreshadowed his own death to them a few times. So I'm sure that was going through their heads, thinking, oh, is this it? Is he actually going to die? And then thirdly, just like all of us in these moments, we ask, how does this affect us? Like, what is going on here? Well, how is this going to change what we're going to be going through, what's going to be happening with us? If they kill him, we have no leader anymore. So again, I ask, like I ended last night with, are you one of Jesus' disciples? Truly, are you one of his? We need to keep that into the back of our minds this whole weekend. So just as they struggled with those questions, we have to ask ourselves questions if we are his disciples. We are not there in the garden or running scared right now, but we are in our own places right now, dealing with our own things. So we need to ask ourselves, who is it that they just arrested? Do we believe that he was just a charismatic leader, or believe that he was Lord of all? I hope that we can say Lord of all. We have to ask, was Jesus truly right about his death and his predictions? Was he showing his lordship by knowing just what was going to happen? And if he was right about that, he was also right about him raising himself from death. So these are big questions, and I ask, how does this affect us as his disciples today? The answer should be, nothing should be the same. If you truly believe this, nothing in your life should be the same than before the moment that you believe that. Because it just affects every aspect of your life if you let it. We can get in the way of ourselves. Judas Iscariot was with Jesus for 3 years. He didn't allow the message to penetrate his heart. He knew some of it in his head, and that's why after he betrayed Jesus, he was overcome by guilt and killed himself. But that was more head knowledge. If he had it in his heart, if he loved Jesus in his heart, if he knew Jesus was the Lord of all, the devil wouldn't have been able to use him. Because God is way stronger than the devil. Always remember that. Anything you're going through, God is bigger. So where are you in your walk with Christ today? Does it depend on the day? Does it depend on the moment? Does it depend on which direction the wind is blowing outside? Or how cold it is, or how warm it is? We need to be looking for Jesus and waiting for Jesus in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that should never change. When I was preparing these messages, I was listening to KFM. And I heard Charles Stanley on the radio. And Charles had this to say. It's a paraphrase. But he said, if you are waiting for God and you are looking for His direction and you want everything, you want to get there to where God wants you to be as quick as possible, right? How does that happen? He said, the only way to potentially get a faster response from God is to be close with God and to be already moving in the direction that you think He wants you to go. If you just sit there or stand in your little corner and don't move and just do your best as a statue job and say, God, why aren't you doing anything? God, where are you? God, what's going on? He'll be talking to you. He'll be trying to prod you over there. But if you're already moving in the direction you know He wants you to be in, or you believe He wants you to be in, you're going to get to your answer faster. It's just that simple. Because in life, we all know there are obstacles and there are things in the way. But if we are already traveling the path, it's just an easy, basically like going through checkpoints on, you guys probably are video game guys and girls, so like on a racing game or whatever. If you're driving backwards or you're not moving at all, you're not going to get through the checkpoint. It's just that simple. So we need to keep moving forward and be waiting in God, but waiting in God does not mean not doing anything. It means listening, praying, seeking, and following what He is currently telling you. And God, if He hasn't changed your direction, if God has led you somewhere, just keep walking on that path until He makes it clear He wants you to go somewhere else. And just remember to be faithful in the circumstances that God has you in today. So if you can genuinely say that you are faithful in what God has you in today, that's awesome. However, most of us are probably more in this category, that we are in the place where we just don't truly trust God yet. That it is, we have our highs, we have our lows, and it just depends on where we are as to how we respond to Him. And you know what? If you are in that place today, please be honest with yourself. Doesn't matter if you're an adult or a youth. Be honest with yourself. And that's the best thing you can ever do for yourself. Because the moment you're honest, the moment things can change. And the moment God can work in you and move you in the direction He wants you to be in. So there, let me tell you, there is nothing wrong with someone here being saying today, you know what, Trevor, I'm just not at that place where I am fully trusting in God and I'm waiting in Him. And that's, you know what, that happens. It's part of life. I wish I can say that I don't struggle. I wish I can say that I always trust God. But then I'd be lying to you. And I'm not going to do that today. I struggle. I struggle at different times. And it's, there are many times where in frustration or anger, I'll be there and I'll be like, God, where are you? Where are you? And I'll be upset. Where are you, God? What's going on here? What is happening? And the only way to get through those times or to have those doubt moments not happen so often or not be a devastating moment in your Christian life and walk is to understand the truth. The only way to combat doubt is by understanding what is truth. Today I want to tell you, the world will say a lot of things are true. And I'm going to tell you, the world knows squat. They know nothing. I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody. But if you look at what all the supposed smart people are trying to tell you in your science textbooks in school, it's the biggest joke I've ever read or seen. But yet they're the smart ones. No, they're not. The Bible speaks on that. It says that the wisdom of this world is foolish. And the this is a paraphrase now, but the wise will be made foolish by the wisdom of God. And because they don't believe it, they have to think they're smarter, they have to understand a certain thing. They have to, and if they can't believe or understand that God, who created this world, who created everything, who created you, who created me, could do what He said in the Bible, they just can't believe that, so they have to make up these theories and these things that they have no basis for, they have no facts for. You know, in science, true science is water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. That's true science. You know why? Science is, the definition of science is repeatable results. But half the things they're going to teach you in your science class is religion. But oh wait, we're not allowed religion in school. Right? That's what they keep telling us. You can't pray. You can't do any of that. Religion's not allowed in school. Well then why are you teaching me this garbage? It's so far from the truth, it's ridiculous. And I challenge you, look into it. Look into the Bible. Read the Bible more. Understand the truths, because the only truths are found in the Bible. The life-guiding truths. There are different truths, like, you know, if you say you're wearing a blue shirt and you're wearing a blue shirt, well, that's true. I'm not going to argue with you. But what I'm talking about is the truths of this world, the truths that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He did come, He did die, He did rise, and that He wants you to follow Him and fully trust in Him. And if you have doubts, if you have different things, the only way to eliminate those doubts and to get through those doubts is to saturate yourself in truth and understand the truth. Do you agree with me? Does everyone need a coffee? Got a couple sleepers. But, oh wait, yeah, I'm sorry, you guys need Monster energy drinks, I'm sorry. Yeah. So the disciples, they went through this challenge. They lost their leader. They're trying to understand through what is truth here. We have the benefit that they didn't have. They were living it. We get to read it. We get to see it. We get to see the examples and the evidence by looking at it from an outside perspective after the fact. And that's a good place to be. You know, it's like, I don't know for any of you football fans out there, but, you know, to know before the game happened who was going to win the Super Bowl, or even at halftime, who was going to win that Super Bowl, not many people are going to say New England Patriots were going to win that. But after the fact, it's easy to say they won because they won. It's a fact. It's true. It happened. And that's it. And but the disciples, they were in a spot where they had to cover themselves with what I'm going to call today the incomplete truths. They didn't have all the truths with them. They knew they had what Jesus taught them. They had the example He left them. They had all these great things. But they did not have a risen Jesus at this point. But they still held on to some hope. How can I say that they held on to hope? With assurance. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 1. Oh, it's working. Awesome. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went inside. Here's the key verse. He saw and he believed. And verse 9. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back to where they were staying. So hold on to that. They saw and they believed. Then verse 19, we're going to skip ahead a little bit. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Did anyone catch the key of that second section of verses that I just read? Does anyone want to take a guess at it? Give an answer? That is a good point, for sure. That is super important. But it's going back a little bit further. Look at verse 19. You guys have it with you? It should be at the top of the screen there. Or the bottom middle. It says, the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders. So, when Mary had come and found them, it is very easy to believe that's where they were. She just knew where they were hiding out. They were locked in the room for fear of the Jewish leaders. But when she said that Jesus' body was no longer there, they ran to the tomb. But what happened to the fear they had? What happened to that? Exactly. Because they're like, the teaching that Jesus was putting into them, and that's what we need to do. We need to fill our minds with the teaching that Jesus puts in us through the Bible and through His independent teaching with us. That the fear is gone. They just ran. It could have been a trap. It could have been, like, they could have just got there and they could have been arrested and killed themselves. They didn't care. They said, we need to see this. Jesus is no longer there. He was talking all this stuff about tearing down the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days and different things that they didn't quite understand at the time. He foreshadowed so much to them. And they said, you know what? We gotta see this. We gotta check it out. When they saw the linens, the way it was placed, they knew that no one stole the body because the linens were placed as they were wrapped. The headpiece was still where the head was. Everything was there. No body. So what I'm saying to you today is be willing to trust the Lord and to seek Him and to be like the disciples and run to find the answers and be excited to find the answers and look it up. Now, I had something I was going to share with you, but I'm going to change it up. Sometimes God does this, right? And, well, all the time. I had times in my life where I was 100% confident. 100% confident God wanted me to be going down the road I was going down. And I worked at a youth center in Timmins, and I volunteered there for many years, and then I worked full-time there for about a year and three-quarters, 2 years, something like that. And I was sure that's where God wanted me to be. I was sure of it. It doesn't mean that it was easy. It was very, very hard time in my life. There was so much that happened. And it was insane. And but God changed where He wanted me to be and where I needed to go. And I delayed and I delayed and I delayed and I didn't want. I'm like, Lord, it was so sure that You wanted me to be doing this. I was feeling the Lord on my heart so much. And I basically said to Him, and this is okay if you want to do this too. I said, Lord, You've given me sign after sign after sign after sign. But I said, You're talking to an idiot. You just got to do it. I don't know what's going on here. You're making it clear, but I'm an idiot. And You just need to do it, Lord, because I'm going to trust You, but I don't want to make a false step. And this doesn't always happen, but for me, the next day, I went into my job, and I worked a full shift, worked overtime, and at the end of my shift, they gave me a pink slip and said, You're laid off. I said, oh yeah? Thank You, Lord. Okay, you showed an idiot where to go. Thank You. And so I shook their hand and said, okay, I'm going into the ministry. I'll get my toolbox on Saturday. I'm out of here. Thank you for having me here for however long I was there. And that was it. And I went with it, with passion, with fervent, with everything I had. And then for whatever reason, things weren't going so well, and God was guiding me somewhere else. But I fought Him, and you know what? It's okay. God sometimes has us in a place for a time and a season, not necessarily forever. And my time there was used for God, not for me. for God. And now they things are going over there, and they're moving forward, and it's looking, you know, I trust pretty good, and that God's going to use that youth center. It's the Open End Youth Center, or it was called the Open End. Now it's Youth for Christ. I encourage everyone here, you know, when the building's under some major renos right now, but when they get fired up and get things going, bring your friends, go over, enjoy the facilities. Andrew's working over there now. He's a great guy. He spoke here last year, by the way. Does anyone remember Andrew? Awesome. So he spoke here last year. He's working over there now. And I believe that God used me stepping out for that short time to bring in Andrew, hopefully for the long time. And, you know, maybe if that never happened, maybe it wouldn't even be a discussion right now. But God used me in that way, and it was a hard time. But here's what I really wanted to share, and I got off a little bit. Here's what I really wanted to share. Is that kids, youth, and adults alike, we don't like waiting, I've already said that, but we think our circumstances that we're going through are the end of the world. Okay? And we can't see tomorrow. We can't see 10 minutes down the road. We can't. And we just get so engulfed in what we're going through. Near the end of my time at the youth center, there were a couple suicides from people that I was working with. They couldn't find God. They couldn't see where He was going. They didn't look, or they didn't wait, or they just allowed themselves to get swallowed up in that moment. For two of them, the reason they took their life was because their girlfriend had dumped them, and they thought that was the end of the world. And do you know what? They made it. They made it the end of their world. I don't know if they knew Jesus. I was trying to bring them. I was trying to show them who He was. We had talks. We played music together. We jammed, played some good Christian songs. We had lots of good discussions. We had different things. But at the end of the day, I have no confidence that they knew Jesus. And that is the worst. Nothing worse happened to me during that time period than that. Than knowing that two teenage guys who had their whole lives ahead of them couldn't see past the fact that their girlfriend cheated on them and dumped them. And they decided to take a piece of rope and put it around their neck, climb a tree, and let go. And that is the end of their story for this earth, and now they're in hell. Does anyone else here want to go to hell? No. Good answer. I don't. So what are we going to do about it? We got to wait in Jesus. We got to learn who He is. We have to trust Him as Lord and as Savior, and not allow ourselves to get swallowed up in these short, temporary little problems that we face. That is what Jesus wants. He wants us, and once we know Him, once we work, allow Him to work in us, He wants us to have a consistent walk for Him. He wants that for us. He doesn't want the roller coaster. He wants us close to Him in biblical terms. He wants us by His bosom. He wants us in His embrace. He wants us close so that we will not falter, that we will stay with Him and that we will may have little swerves in the road, but that we will be with Him. And that will never lead you astray. And I trust, I encourage everyone again, if you have a hard time believing that Jesus is the Lord, then you just need to dig deeper and look at the facts. If you need facts, if you want some information, the facts, I will hook you up. I'll take your information. I will send you whatever you need. But I'm telling you, it is true. And we need to fully embrace that. And and we need to not allow ourselves to stumble. And just do me a favor. Just please don't have your story go anywhere near what I just shared to you about those two boys, okay? Can you promise me that? That's because it's never worth it, and you have 60, 70 years ahead of you, and then if you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, you'll have eternity after that, and it doesn't get any better. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that you'll walk with all of us and that we will willingly and with excitement invite you to be beside us the whole way. And that you will be our guide, Lord, and that we will do a good job of ridding our minds and our hearts with the distractions that get in the way of us serving you. Lord, I just pray that the rest of today, that everyone will have an awesome, fun time, that they'll learn, that they'll enjoy each other, that they'll encourage each other, and that if they have any questions, that they'll find someone who they trust to get answers to those questions. And Lord, I just pray that you will keep us all safe today and forever, and that hopefully everyone in this room, Lord, will one day be welcomed by you into heaven, and that you will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen. Amen. If anyone wants, I'll be up here in the corner to talk or not. And if not, after the worship, Dave will give you instructions as to what's happening next.